Hello and welcome to the CISS podcast. This is the Point series by China Forum. In this series, we will have one-on-one discussions with top-level officials, diplomats, well-known entrepreneurs, academics, and media experts from both China and abroad to hear their fresh insights on important global issues.
Welcome to the CISS podcast, the Point series. This is Beibei with China Forum, CISS Tsinghua University. In today's increasingly complex global landscape, understanding public opinion is crucial for shaping effective policies and fostering international cooperation. The Chinese People's Perspectives on International Security, Survey Report 2024, offers a unique window into how ordinary Chinese citizens view global security issues and China's role on the world stage. Today's program will delve into the key findings of this groundbreaking survey, exploring Chinese views on global security, China-US relations, and the future of China's engagement with the world. We'll examine what these insights mean for policymakers, researchers, and anyone interested in China's evolving role in international affairs. Our guest speaker today is Dr. Dong Ting, a center fellow involved in the study at the Center for International Security and Strategy at Tsinghua University. Please stay tuned for this enlightening discussion. Welcome to the show, Professor Dong.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to discuss our findings.
Great. So I understand that this is the second year CISS has conducted this survey. What was the inspiration for this study on Chinese perspectives on international security? And what were your goals in launching this project?
Well, you know, it's an interesting story. We started this project because during our discussion at CIISS, we noticed there has often a lot of speculation in Western media and policy circles about what Chinese people think, but very little data to back it up. So we wanted to change that narrative by providing solid data on Chinese public opinion regarding international security issues. So our primary goal is quite simple. As we stated at the beginning of the report, is to present an unfiltered view of China to the world. So we want to show what's really happening here in Chinese public opinion, which often gets lost in the broader geopolitical discussions. And as you know, as China keeps growing on the world stage, we believe it's crucial for policymakers and scholars worldwide to have accurate insights into Chinese perspectives. So this survey might help bridge that this sort of knowledge gap. So when we filed the first survey last year, we were actually a little bit nervous about how it would be received. But the response was mainly positive, both in China and the world. And that's what motivated us to make this an annual project. So we're planning to keep this going year after year. It will be really interesting to see how people's views shift as things change around the world.
How the views evolve over time. And I have to say, I found this survey very engaging to read. It wasn't like dry or anything. And it put actual numbers to some general feelings that, you know, we sense in China. Could you walk us through how the survey was conducted? I'm particularly interested in the methodology employed for gathering these insights from the Chinese public.
Sure. The survey was filed online in April this year. We reached out to mainland Chinese residents over 18 years old. We used a mixed sampling method, carefully controlling for factors like gender, age, urban-rural distribution, and regional representation to ensure our sample accurately reflected China's population. So after our quality control process, we ended up with a final sample around 2,600 participants. So this group included an even split of men and women, with a majority aged like between 18 to 44, but also good representation from older age groups. So we had respondents from various regions across China with education levels ranging from middle school to postgraduate degrees. And the occupational background of our participants was quite diverse, including office workers, professionals, managers, students, civil servants, blue collar workers, you name it, right?
Mm.
So this diversity, I think, helps ensure our result reflected a broad cross section of Chinese society.
Yeah, that sounds quite comprehensive. Overall, what did the survey tell us about how Chinese citizens view the current state of international security? Was there any particular results that stood out for you that was somewhat unexpected?
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot to unpack here. I should say, to put it simply, our respondents are painting two very different pictures here.
Mm-hmm.
What we're seeing is a notable contrast in how our respondents view global security versus China's own position.
Mm.
So one of the key findings is a growing pessimism about international security.
Mm.
Over half of our respondents, I think we're talking about 51% here, right? So Phil, the world today is either not very secure or not secure at all.
Mm.
So this is a significant increase compared to our previous survey last year, indicating a trend of increasing concern.
Mm-hmm.
What particularly interesting is how this pessimism varies across different groups. We found that older respondents tend to be more pessimistic about global security. There's also a slight gender differences,
mm-hmm.
with men expressing somewhat higher levels of concern than women.
I see.
Yeah. Despite this gloomy outlook on global security, our respondents are remarkably optimistic about our own security situation.
Mm.
A whopping 17% of respondents believe that China is either very secure or relatively secure in this current international environment.
Mm.
So many, while they are worried about the world, they are pretty confident about China.
Right.
They think China's security has gotten better in the last 5 years and will keep improving.
Yeah, that's what I found the most fascinating about the results. I'm not surprised, but still, it's a very fascinating contrast. So my next question is, what do you think are the key factors driving this striking contrast between global pessimism but national optimism, mm-hmm. for the Chinese people?
That's an excellent question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this survey didn't directly ask for reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So my personal analysis is, let's say on the global stage, there are numerous uncertainties, right?
Yeah.
That likely contribute to this sort of sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
So from the data, topping the list are geopolitical issues, specifically worries about international interference into the Taiwan issue,
mm-hmm.
and ongoing tensions between China and the United States. But it's not just about political rivalries.
Mm-hmm.
There's significant concern about global economy stability compared,
mm-hmm.
to last year's survey. Concerns about international financial or economic crisis have increased.
I see.
So we are also seeing new worries emerge, like the potential risks posed by advances in artificial intelligence.
Oh, okay.
That's quite convinced, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when focusing on China, respondents tend to feel more optimistic.
Mm.
I think there might be two aspects. One is factual and the other is, let's say, emotional or perceptual.
Mm.
So it's true that China's economy has hit some bumps recently, but I think many of these issues arise because our economy is at a critical juncture.
Right.
Transitioning from traditional growth models to new innovation-driven model ones, right?
Mm.
So this shift has brought some structure contradictions to the front.
Mm.
It's an expected part of transformation, right?
Right.
So
right.
Usually it's like just refitting our house while we are still living it. It's sort of messy but necessary. So the good news is our government seems to be getting better and responding to all these challenges effectively.
Mm.
But from a perceptual standpoint, it's clear that China has felt the impact of US technological restrictions in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
That's undeniable. But our enterprises and researchers haven't given up. So they continue to strive for innovation, for progress. So this sort of resilience and determination are palpable,
mm-hmm.
and they are fitting into a broader sense of national optimism. So I think this public confidence comes from what people are experiencing firsthand.
Mm.
They are saying government policies that actually make differences in their lives. So they are witnessing rapid technological advancements, sometimes
mm-hmm.
in their own workplaces, right, or daily routines. So it's this tangible progress,
mm.
despite the challenges, that really encouraging people's faith in China's future. So it's not just this sort of abstract optimism. It's based on concrete improvements people can see and feel.
Yeah.
Can I just add something to that? Because, you know, we're talking about firsthand experience. And as someone who's living in China, and I hear strikingly different views on when it comes to China's economy in recent years. I mean, there's always been voices, you know, saying China is collapsing. Mm-hmm. And according to these voices, China has been collapsing for over a decade. It's either like collapsing or imploding. But then there's no denying of the stunning emergence of new growth drivers in Chinese economy, and most notably the EV industry, and also for the new energy sector. And with names such as BYD and Huawei literally leaping to the top globally, and I think we are in for still more phenomenal performances. So I think, like, if I combine these two views, we're seeing, I think, it just as you mentioned, it's mm-hmm. a structural change. Yeah. It's a transformation, and it's expected transformation. So both the pain and, you know, the happy surprises. So, you know, firsthand experience, there mm-hmm. is pessimism, but it's expected as kind of a side effects of the transition, mm-hmm. which is happening painfully, but also beautifully. So this actually fuels the optimism. So, you know, just, I guess, personal experience for someone living in China. So more about the economy. I noticed that the survey shows the Chinese public highly values the use of economic power in diplomacy. Does this mean that economic diplomacy is becoming the primary tool of China's foreign policy?
Yeah, the survey indeed shows that the Chinese public highly values the use of economic power in diplomacy.
Hmm.
I think this reflects a broader understanding that economic strength is a very important part of national power and can be an effective tool in achieving foreign policy objectives. But I think it doesn't necessarily mean economic diplomacy will become the sole or primary tool of China's foreign policy.
Mm.
China's approach to international relations is diversified, right? In this survey, economic power is followed by military power, diplomatic power, and cultural power.
Mm.
So actually, we employ a combination of different means to engage with the world.
Right.
So I think it's important to clarify what we mean by economic diplomacy.
Mm.
According to the strict definition, I think economic diplomacy should include commerce, finance, immigration, consular activities. So morally, if you look at the history of China's economic diplomacy, we're not just copying what Western countries do.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like we've got one foot in each camp.
Mm-hmm.
On one side, we are still very much a developing country.
Mm.
And that shows in how we approach things.
Mm.
But then we also picked up some moves that we would usually say from the developed economies. So it's sort of a unique mix.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, I understand that when respondents select economic power as the primary tool, indicates a preference for peaceful and cooperative means of engagement.
Definitely, yeah.
And it suggests that people believe, right, economic ties can lead to more stable and enduring relationships,
yeah.
Like, you know, the Belt and Road Initiative, a very good example of how economic collaboration can build infrastructure, promote connectivity, and contribute to development in partner countries.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we believe in trade more, fight less.
Yeah.
But the trade more comes in the front. It helps us to fight less and hopefully not fight at all. And speaking of China's economic engagement with the world, the survey revealed some interesting points about globalization and China's openness. And we are familiar with this mixed views about globalization, let's say in the United States, you know, how Americans feel about it. But how do Chinese citizens view globalization and China's integration into the global economy? Are there any notable trends or shifts in public opinions in this regard?
The good news is, overall, the survey shows that Chinese people remain relatively positive about globalization. So over 60% of respondents believe that the impact of globalization on China is more beneficial than harmful. So this suggests a continued openness to global engagement and appreciation for the benefits it has brought to China's development. But in the meantime, it's important to note that we are seeing more nuanced shifts. Compared to last year's survey, there's been a slight decrease in the proportion of respondents who view globalization as beneficial. We are also seeing a growing middle ground with more respondents indicating that the impact of globalization on China is balanced, right? Neither overwhelmingly positive or negative.
I see.
So the most interesting thing is that survey reveals some demographic differences. For instance, respondents in the Southwest are more vocal about the benefits of globalization for China, while those in the Northeast are more likely to believe that the benefits and harms are balanced. So those in the North China are more inclined to view globalization as more harmful than beneficial. And higher education levels and older age groups tend to have more positive views about the benefits of globalization for China. So this could reflect their longer term perspective on China's economic transformation.
That's very interesting. I didn't know the answers would be different based on the geographical location and also different age groups. What about Chinese people's openness to the world?
So if we look at specific aspect of openness, the results are quite telling. For example, there's strong support for economic and trade openness, with over 90% of responses agreeing with this, right? But the proportion of those who strongly agree actually has decreased slightly from last year. So we could see similar patterns in attitudes towards foreigners, towards like foreigners coming to China, Chinese students starting abroad, and international scientific cooperation. While support remains high, there is a slight cooling in the intensity of that support. So we could say from the survey that the majority had shrank slightly from 86 to 81%.
Still very high.
But what does this all mean, right? So I think we are seeing a maturing perspective on globalization among respondents.
So more rational.
They still say the benefits of international cooperation and openness, but on terms that they perceive as more favorable to China's own interest. So I think that aligns with the finding that 73% of our respondents believe China should adopt a more proactive and assertive stance in our foreign policy.
More proactive and assertive stance, I see. Does that mean that, you know, respondents think we want to become more engaged with the world or just on China's own terms, like more favorable to China's own interests?
Yeah, it's just on terms that it's more favorable to China's own interests.
I see. Now, I like to shift our focus a little bit. Now, in the survey, the older respondents kind of stood out. And you've also mentioned how, you know, the older respondents a few times, including how they have a bit more pessimistic outlook on security compared to younger respondents. Why is that? What is your take on these age-related differences shown in the survey?
Well, consider why older respondents must be more pessimistic about security. I think their generation lived through periods of significant international tension, like the Cold War, and has witnessed numerous global conflicts.
Right.
So maybe this experience make them more cautious or skeptical about global security issues. They might recall times of hardship or instability, which shapes their current perceptions. So younger respondents, on the other hand, have grown up during a period of relative stability and prosperity here in China. They have witnessed the country's rapid development, increased global engagement, and technological advancement. So this sort of environment can foster a more optimistic view of China's role in the world and international security in general.
Maybe the older generation would think we're just more innocent.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't seen the real thing yet. Hopefully we won't see it.
As the younger generation become more prominent in society, their perspectives and priorities, I think they could influence the policymaking. For example, younger people might place greater emphasis on issues like global cooperation, environment sustainability, and those of technological innovation. But it's important to say that foreign policy is shaped by a multitude of factors, including national interests, geopolitical realities and historical contexts. Mm. Well, demographic changes can influence public opinion and by extension inform policymakers. Adjustment in foreign policy tend to be gradual and consider long-term national goals.
Well, as they should, right?
Yeah.
So do you think China's foreign policy might evolve as its demographic structure changes? You know, we are aware of the aging of the population in the coming years and decades.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is as people age, their perspectives often change.
That's true.
So today's optimistic youth may become more cautious and they maybe encounter the complexities in future global politics.
Yeah.
So I believe China's core foreign policy principles will remain stable. And this evolution is not just about demographic shifts. It's a response to a whole host of factors worldwide.
Mm. And as you mentioned, the younger generation have new things to bring to the table.
Yeah.
Global cooperation, environmental sustainability, and also technological advancements. So reasons to be optimistic. Now let's turn to the final section of the report, which focuses on how Chinese citizens view Sino-American relationship. Now, what insights does the survey offer about public perceptions of this critical bilateral relationship? How do everyday Chinese people assess the current state of China-US ties? What's their outlook for the future?
Mm-hmm. I think our results on China-US relations are top telling and I must say not entirely surprising given recent developments.
Right.
So what we are seeing is a Chinese public that's increasingly confident about China's global standing, yet pessimistic about the bilateral relationship with the United States.
So see that contrast again.
Yes, again. And maybe let's break this down a little bit.
Sure.
Over 90% of our respondents believe China's global influence has increased in the past 5 years, while nearly 60% say America has declined. Looking ahead, there's overwhelming optimism about China's future global status, with almost 89% expecting it to rise further.
Mm.
Well, when we talk about the current state of China-US relations specifically, the outlook is much less rosy. So only about 8% of our respondents think the relationship has improved over the past year, and more people expect it to worsen rather than improve in the next 5 years.
Okay.
So this pessimism has actually increased compared to our 2023 survey. So to me, I think a big takeaway is that many people say United States strategies of trying to contain China's rise, you know, almost 90% share that view, unfortunately. So this view has become deeply ingrained in the Chinese public consciousness and is likely influencing how people interpret United States actions. So despite these negative perceptions, most Chinese still recognize the importance of the U.S. economy to China. Over 93% believe the U.S. economy has a significant or somewhat significant influence on China's economy. So this suggests a complex view where the United States is seen as both a competitor and an important economic partner.
Right.
So it's no wonder that when we present respondents with a list of 10 potential areas for cooperation, economic and trade issues came out on top as the most recognized common ground between China and the United States.
Well, at least we do have very important common grounds, right?
Yeah, so I think now they have very nuanced view of U.S. influence. And that's quite interesting because they identify economic and military factors as the biggest challenges. Well, concerns about American culture values or ideas of democracy and human rights are much lower. So, you know, among all these findings, this is the one I find somewhat encouraging. So we'll ask about the reason for changes in China-US relations over the past 5 years. More than half of the respondents attributed these changes to objective differences in interests and values between our two countries. So I think this sort of view holds true even among those who have negative perception of the U.S. government and its policies. So meaning more than half of this group still say these fundamental differences rather than any single policy or action, right, at the root cause of our changing bilateral relations.
Does it also mean that it's harder to improve because of these differences are fundamental and also in our interests and values between the two countries?
I think the sort of interest and values is different between each and every country. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's encouraging to see that respondents tend to be more rational in their views. And the survey shows that nearly 90% of respondents believe that the U.S. is trying to contain China's development and rise, as you mentioned. Mm. How might this widespread perception influence China's policymaking, China's foreign policymaking? Does it increase the risk of miscalculation between China and the U.S.?
Yeah, you're right. If there is a strong public belief that we are being contained, there would be more support for policies that actively counter this perceived containment.
Right? Mm-hmm.
But it's important to note that our foreign policy is not solely driven by public opinion. Government officials are pragmatic and they understand the complexities of international relations.
Mm-hmm.
They are likely to balance this public sentiment with other factors like economic interest, global stability, and common safety and security.
Mm.
So about the risk of miscalculation, yes, I would say this perception does increase that risk. If we interpret every U.S. action through this lens of containment, we might misread intentions or overreact to certain policies. So likewise, if the United States is aware of this perception here in China, they might misinterpret some of our defensive moves as aggressive.
I see.
So that's why both China and the United States really need to keep our lines of communication wide open.
Mm.
So it's crucial that both sides can get a clear real-time picture of each other's intentions.
Mm-hmm.
So these communications, whether they are happening behind closed doors or in international forums, are very important for building mutual understanding.
I see.
Yeah.
Hmm. And before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like our listeners to take away from this survey?
I would emphasize that, well, there's overwhelming belief that the United States is trying to contain China and generate unfavorable views of the U.S. government. We see much more positive attitudes toward the American people.
Right, I noticed that in the survey.
So this separation of government and the populace in Chinese perceptions could be important for understanding the potential for P2P exchanges and the soft power dynamics between our two countries.
I just want to add to that. I have this survey right here, and I highlighted this. It says, respondents' unfavorable sentiments toward the U.S. are primarily directed at the U.S. government rather than its citizens. And actually, 81.71% of the respondents have a neutral or favorable attitude towards ordinary Americans. So I think that's something I really, you know, want to share with our listeners. It's not about the people. So we definitely encourage people-to-people exchanges.
Yeah, sure. But in the meantime, I should say we can't ignore the elephant in the room, right? If government tensions keep simmering, it could eventually erode our public goodwill.
That's true.
So it's like a garden, right? We need to turn to it, or the waves of mistrust or other bad things will take over.
Yeah, the weeds will take over.
Yeah.
Well, you know, thank you so much for sharing these valuable insights with us. And we hope that this episode can provide a deeper understanding of how Chinese citizens perceive international security and just how we feel and think, you know, in general. And I think understanding these perspectives is essential to our interconnected global community. And if our listeners would like to read the full survey, it's named Chinese People's Perspectives on International Security Survey Report 2024, and it's available through the Center of International Security and Strategy at Tsinghua University. So that's CISS at Tsinghua University. Thank you again, Professor Dong.
Thank you for your time. And if I may, I also want to take this opportunity to express my gratitude to all my colleagues and students in this report team. They are truly amazing. Right? For any listeners out there who found this discussion interesting, please stay tuned for our future reports and other CISS projects. Thank you.
That was Dr. Dong Ting discussing the Chinese people's perspectives on international security, Survey Report 2024. The study reveals a nuanced picture of Chinese public opinion, showing growing pessimism about global security alongside strong confidence in China's own position. These insights are valuable for anyone seeking to understand China's approach to global affairs. The full report is available through the Center for International Security and Strategy at Tsinghua University. Thank you for listening, and please stay tuned for more of the Point series.